Well, I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the fourth book in the New Testament, that is the Gospel of John. And if you've not brought your Bible with you today, why don't you reach right in front of you, get one of those black pew Bibles, it's just like the one I preached to you from, and turn with us to page number 1229, page number 1229, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That's John chapter 6. And verses 60 through 71. And I invite you to keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. And you're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy, inspired, and inerrant Word. And today you can see in the worship guide that I'm preaching to you on this subject. Three types of followers. And I want to begin by defining what a disciple is. A disciple, in plain terms, is a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, with the advancement of social media, that word follower has taken on a whole new meaning in our 21st century. In the world of Twitter, a follower is someone who watches for the pithy statements of the one who is being followed. So to follow now equates with general observation. And that's the problem with most modern day Christianity. We are interested in the teachings, the life, and the words of Christ, but not enough to be engaged with Him. We are just general observers, most Christians today. Last week I looked up on the internet the top 100 people and brands that have the most Twitter followers. And I'm always interested in sports, and so out of that top 100, I wondered what the number one sport that had the most Twitter followers was. And I assumed it would be the NFL, the National Football League. After all, it is the 800-pound gorilla in the room and has the most money of any sport known to man, but it was not first on the list. It was well down the list. The number one sport that is followed in the top 100 Twitter followers is the NBA, the National Basketball Association, at number 55. And two of the NBA's most popular athletes are the only two professional athletes or amateur athletes that are followed at all in the top 100. LeBron James comes in at number 25. And Kevin Durant comes in at number 99. Well, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Okay, the NBA. Surely football is right after that. And you would be right, but not the NFL. Coming in at number 64 is FC, that stands for Football Club Barcelona, Spain. What most of us would call soccer. Then at number 72 finally comes the NFL, the National Football League. And for all of you baseball fans, Major League Baseball is not mentioned at all in the top 100 of Twitter followers. And then some of you are interested in the personalities in the top 100 with the most Twitter followers. Coming in at number 18 is Jimmy Fallon, and then number 28, Bill Gates, number 53, Conan O'Brien, and number 82, Leonardo DiCaprio. And then I got to thinking about politicians. There is only one politician who is in the top 100 of the most Twitter followers. And you would be wrong. It is our president, Barack Obama, coming in at number 4. He has been recently displaced from number 3 to number 4. He comes behind these top 3 personalities: Katy Perry with 81 million, Justin Bieber with 74 million. And Taylor Swift has recently transplanted our president to the number three spot, 69,989,000. Then comes in Barack Obama at 78,988,000, a mere 1,171 people short. You could help our president regain that number three spot. Now, that's not counsel or advice, it's just an observation. Now, the problem with President Obama's 68 plus million followers is that it is estimated that 20 million of those followers of Barack Obama are fake followers. What do you mean by that? Companies and personalities can buy fake followers. You can purchase 1,000 fake followers for about the price of two meals at Burger King. And that's exactly what a lot of personalities and companies do. They try to make themselves look more popular by buying followers, which is not sincere at all. As a matter of fact, Facebook recently admitted that over 83 million Facebook accounts are fake. At the end of August, they removed all fake likes from pages. The problem with fake followers is they are not truly engaged with the personality or company they are following. They are just superficially interested, and my friend, that is the exact problem with most modern day Christians. In chapter 3 of his book, Go Disciple, Chad Hood writes, and I quote, "In John chapter 6, Jesus plainly reveals who he is and what a true follower of him is." Jesus identifies three types of followers here in chapter 6: the disappointed, the disbelieving, and finally, the devoted. Let's read together about those disappointed followers of Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 60. If you have your Bible open there, give me a loud, hearty amen. Amen. Wonderful. You listen as I read aloud. It says, "Therefore, many of his," that's Jesus, "disciples." Let's just stop right there and understand this, that often when we read that word disciples in the New Testament, we commonly think it's referring to the 12 disciples who followed Jesus. But in this case, it means a much broader circle of followers. As a matter of fact, at times there were 500 people who were disciples of Christ. And if you count the multitudes who followed him for his miracles and his healings, there would have been even more than that. And that's what this is referring to, the broadest number of disciples that you can think of. So again in verse 60, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" Now, what is this? What did they hear? It was a sermon that Jesus had just given in verses 48 to 58. And they were so offended by what Jesus had to say in that teaching that they were disappointed and would from that moment forward cease from following him. They were just artificially attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had followed him for his miracles and his teachings, but in truth, they were thrill seekers, not truth seekers. As Chad Hood says on page 37 of Go Disciple, and I quote, "They followed him for what he did and not for who he was." I wonder how many people who call themselves Christians today follow him for what they can get from him instead of following him for who he is, and being content to worship him and him alone. True worship is reaching for the hand of God. It's not reaching for what's in the hand of God. But there are so many people who follow Christ for what he does and not who he is. And when they heard Jesus teaching, they said, boy, this is hard. This is difficult. This is unpleasant to my ears. And they were offended. They said, this is unacceptable. And we go on and read there in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained or grumbled about this, about what he had taught and preached, he said to them, does this offend you? And that's where a lot of people are today. When a preacher or a teacher gets up and opens up the Word of God, there are a lot of things in here that tend to offend us. They knock a little bark off of us and they peel our toenails back a little bit. And we say, you know what? This is disappointing. I did not sign on for this. And that's exactly where these so-called followers were with Jesus Christ. It happens every day. There are people that come in expecting something totally different from what they get, and they say, hey, that's offensive. I'm gone. I'm out of here. And they fall in the same category of these disappointed disciples. As a matter of fact, this word offended that Jesus used in verse 61 is literally the word stumble. As a matter of fact, some translations say Jesus asking, does this cause you to stumble? As a matter of fact, that word is the exact word that we get our English term for scandal from. You know, we hear a lot in the news today about political scandals. And what is your feeling when you hear the news about those scandals? Well, for many of us, we are offended. We are disappointed. Unbelievably, a lot of people are not offended at things that seem to be illegal and inappropriate, but what they get offended at are Christians and the values that the Bible teaches. If you purport what the Word of God proposes for acceptable Christian living, many people will be scandalized, not by the political scandals today, but scandalized by you and what you have to say. And I want you to know you're in good company if you're in that category. Because in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, it prophesied that Jesus would be a stumbling block. But not just there in 1 Corinthians 1:23, and again in 1 Peter 2:18. It said that Jesus was a stumbling block. Jesus' words and Jesus' life scandalized those shallow disciples who were numbered around him. And that happens so often today. Let's go on and read verses 62 and 63, the words of Christ as he responds to them. What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. In other words, to reject the words of Christ is to reject the spiritual life that he purchased for you on the cross of Calvary, and that you can get in on if you will, by faith, follow Jesus as his disciple. Anything else leads to disappointment. Are you a disappointed follower today? There are many of them that fill our church houses this morning. But not just disappointed followers, Jesus identified a second type a follower, and that is the disbelieving follower. Reading there in verse 64, he's going to a new category when he begins with this word, but He says, but there are some of you. In other words, this is a whole different category of follower. The first kind was disappointed, offended by the words of Christ. And he says here, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Many fake disciples permanently abandoned Christ because of their unbelief. And Jesus alludes to one of those disciples, one of the most famous cases of betrayal, when he uses that word betray in the verses that I just read to you. He has gone ahead and mentioned by name in verses 70 and 71, and that is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was the most impressive disciple of Christ. He was probably the most respected amongst the 12 disciples of Christ. And much of that was because that he was the treasurer, and so they would not trust their money to someone who was not trustworthy. And another thing was his patriotism. He was a patriotic person. And what he wanted in the Lord Jesus Christ was a political solution to all of the Roman oppression that was going on around him and others there in Palestine. And so he got to the point that he was not only disappointed in Christ for not fulfilling his expectations, but he became a non-believer. I just want you to know today in this political season, my dear friends, and I'm probably going to offend some folks with this, politics are not the answer for our world's problem. Jesus Christ is the one and only answer for our world's problem. And anyone who is ashamed of Jesus and his gospel and the fact that the way a person becomes a Christian is by asking God to forgive them because of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is way off base. Oh, my dear friend, we must be careful. We must make sure that our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, just like these young people led us in singing a while ago. Don't put your hope in a mere man. Put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is another fake disciple, a disbelieving disciple that's mentioned over in 2 Timothy. And there we read about a man by the name of Demas. Boy, he used to be in it wholeheartedly. And he was all in when it came to following the Apostle Paul and the teachings of Christ. But the Bible tells us there in 2 Timothy that he deserted Paul. He deserted the teachings of Christ because he was attracted by the world and what the world had to offer him. Oh, how many people are in that category today? They get drawn away by the enticement of this world and what it has to offer, and fall into the same category of Judas Iscariot, never to follow Christ again. Today, there are many curiosity seekers who are superficially attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he makes demands on them, when there is a cost to be paid for following him, they disappear because of their unbelief. I wonder which kind of follower you are today. There's only three kinds, according to Jesus. There are these disappointed followers who were offended by his hard teaching, and there were these disbelieving followers. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside, they were a million miles away from God because of their lack of faith and their lack of trust. And the only acceptable category of follower that Jesus mentions here is the devoted follower. We read about them beginning in verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, you see, he is shifting his focus. He's addressed now three different groups Those that were offended by him and disappointed by him, those that were disbelieving, and now he goes to the smallest circle here of 12. He says to them, or asks them, do you also want to go away? Do you want to cease from following me? But Simon Peter, you know Simon Peter, the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth, always was putting his foot in his mouth, but a few times he got it right. And this was one of those times. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, Lord Jesus, others might be disappointed in you. They might be offended by what you say and what you preach. Others might have lack of faith in you. They won't trust you when there's a cross to carry, when there's a price to be paid. But Lord, I just have to confess, like I already did at Caesarea Philippi, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can't go to anyone else because you are the one that has the words of life. And that's what has true value and meaning to the heart of the human soul. You know, I mentioned to you in my introduction that this last week I got the most recent updates on the top 100 personalities and companies with the most Twitter followers. On that list of 100, there was only one religious personality. Do you have any guess who that one religious personality was? Some might say, oh, Franklin Graham. I'm sure it was him. You would be wrong. The number one religious personality, the only one out of the top 100, is a 45-year-old Islamic preacher by the name of Muhammad Al-Arefi. Now, you've obviously discerned from the list that I've already given you that the people who are following on Twitter are young people. And when it comes to religion, when it comes to the top 100, the only person that has a voice for them, at least in the top 100, is this Islamic preacher who on July or June 22nd, 2013, said this, and I quote, I am calling for jihad against Syria in every way possible. This is the number one religious figure amongst those who are following personalities on Twitter. I did a little bit more research on this Islamic cleric, and I found an article, actually a video, and I had to click on closed captioning because he was speaking to an Islamic group in a mosque, and he was telling about being approached by a French Christian who was considering converting to Islam. And this French Christian asked Muhammad Al-Arefi, what is the difference between Christianity and Islam? And the Islamic cleric said, well, number one, Christians gather one day a week to worship and to pray. He said, but in Islam, a true Muslim prays five times a day, beginning at 4 a.m. in the morning. And it's a capacity-only, wall-to-wall group. No chairs, no pews. He said a lot of times there's no air conditioning that's working. He says the carpet's not clean like ours is. He says many times there's a repulsive odor in the room. He said, using this as a metaphor, sometimes you have to wait a year to go to the bathroom. And when you go, many times the toilet is broken. Yet we have capacity crowds. He said, you go to Christians' worship services, and their numbers are dwindling. I mentioned to you that they have prayer 5 times a day, beginning at 4 a.m. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting over here in our historic sanctuary. You know how many we have over there? 20 to 30 people. Then he went on to say, the real difference between Muslims and Christians is that Muslims are willing to sacrifice and die for what they believe. But when Christians come into their houses of worship, this Muslim cleric saying this, so don't get mad at me. They come into their houses of worship and they want a cup of coffee and they want something to eat. And they want to sit down and sing their songs. And they want their fancies to be addressed. Then their religious leader will come and he will open up the holy book of that faith and preach maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And then Muhammad, Allah Afri, said to this French Christian, deciding whether to be an Islamic person or a Christian, said the true difference between Islam and Christianity is devotion. Devotion. 3 types of followers of Jesus. What kind of follower are you? Disappointed? Boy, that was a hard sermon this morning. I don't think I'm going to go back. I don't like that kind of preaching. It's offensive to me. You're in good company. That was the first category that left Jesus. And then there's the second, the disbelieving. Well, you know what? All that's too hard to swallow. Man, I just can't accept that. I can't put my faith in that. And then there are those who will follow Jesus all the way to the cross. What kind of follower are you today? Let's talk to God about it, okay? Father, I thank you right now for Jesus. I thank you that he gave his all on the cross so that those of us who would put our trust and our faith in him would have the opportunity to have eternal life. And have the blessing of following him, no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice. And Father, today, during this time of decision, I pray that there will be truly devoted followers that will come after you. Father, I pray for those that maybe have identified themselves in the disappointed category or the disbelieving. Father, I pray that this morning, not tomorrow, not next week, but this morning, they'd put their faith and their trust in you. Father, we pray all of this in your name because it's the only name that matters. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.